Well, it's spring, it's Lent, time to tend your garden, and time to tend your soul. In our reading from the gospel this morning, Jesus combines those two, tending your garden and tending your soul. Both have to do with a productive life. And only Luke tells us this parable of the unproductive fig tree. So, a man plants a fig tree in his vineyard and waits 3 years for it to produce. But there's nothing, not any figs. And if you're like me, you love figs and you wanted some figs, but no figs. So he tells the vineyard keeper, look, cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? But the vineyard keeper responds, sir, give it one more year while I fertilize it and water it. Let's see what happens. But next year, if there are no figs, then sure, let's cut it down. Now, we all know that a vineyard has this arrangement where there's competition for the nutrients in the soil. And perhaps that fig tree needed more fertilizer and more water than it was getting. Now, with the right amount of both, there would be a chance that next year, there would be figs. Now, I really don't know the rest of this story, and Jesus leaves it open-ended. What did the fig tree do the following year? We can only speculate, but we tend to supply the answer with our basic orientation toward life. Now, if we assume that things never really change, then I suppose you'd have to say the fig tree was a goner. But if we believe that unexpected things are possible, then we imagine eating figs next year. Your perspective, or should I say your faith, has a lot to do with how you see this story unfold. So Jesus' parable is about a fig tree that was barren for 3 years, maybe like your life in some respects. Have you ever endured a spiritual slump, an off-season of your soul, a lean time, a sparse time, a hard time for your spirit, an extended dark night of the soul? Well, maybe you're going through one of those periods right now. It seems that these seasons visit us occasionally, don't they? Now, it's hard to explain to someone else exactly what that feels like. God seems so distant and disconnected from your life. Your relationship with Christ seems so vague. Prayer seems flat and uninteresting. And worship becomes a mere ritual without much feeling at all. Even the relationships that are nearest and dearest to you just bore you. As the old song says, and Jackson Brown said it so well, you're running on empty. It's 3 years without a fig. It's a season without joy. Now, thankfully, this parable suggests that there may be hope for that barren fig tree. The vineyard keeper says, look, I'll dig around it. I'll water it. I'll fertilize it. And we'll see what happens. And we still do the same thing, don't we, with trees? In other words, that tree needs extra nurture and care. That tree requires special attention, all in the hope that there are figs right around the corner. That tree may not be cut down. The tree, if it's cared for. So should we for our own souls. During Lent, we remind ourselves that the spiritual disciplines of the church are precisely for your soul's welfare. Sometimes we simply need to go back to the basics, the nutrients that feed our soul. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Not to make you feel guilty, no, but to make you feel hopeful. These questions are asked in the spirit of the vineyard keeper who refused to give up on that fig tree. I think Christ refuses to give up on us as well. So here are the questions for your Lenten self-inventory. First, these are not trick questions. First question, when is the last time you read your Bible? Read it meditatively and expectantly, read it without interruption, seeking a living word for your life. Read it maybe in the privacy of your home, quietly and slowly. Now, I don't think that the Bible is like Aladdin's lamp that you rub and a genie comes out and grants you three wishes. It's never happened to me. Rather, the Bible is more like an ancient text that the Spirit of God can still use to provide living water for your thirsty soul. Maybe that is why we need to offer always a prayer of illumination for the Spirit to energize those words and give them life. I would suggest during Lent, humbly, that you consider reading through Luke's Gospel, the finest of the four, in my opinion. Read the good news of Jesus' words and his works, and especially his relationships. Read all about his life, his journey from Galilee to Jerusalem, his death, his glorious resurrection. It is the best told tale of the best news humans ever received. It is still the greatest story ever told. One that can inspire you and motivate you. Maybe even lift up your spirits and make the juices in your heart and mind start to flow again. First question, have you read your Bible lately? Second question, when is the last time you really prayed earnestly to the living God? Quietly, passionately, deliberately prayed to our Lord and Savior who loves you with an everlasting love. When is the last time you poured out to God your anxieties and your worries, your illnesses, your strained relationships, your lost hopes? Really prayed as though someone was really listening to you. Maybe it's time for a long walk and talk with God, or a time of silence away from all the media and noise, alone with the God of your life. Or maybe get up early and watch the dawn break in conversation with the Lord who knows every word before you speak it. Maybe it's time for some confession, some healing of your spirit, or a time of great gratitude or thanksgiving, a time for reclaimed joy. Second question, when's the last time you earnestly prayed? Third question, what are you doing with your life? How about this? Do something with your life. Frank, do something with your life. Become more generous with your time and your talents and your treasure. Find a way to help someone who's younger or older than you are, who needs exactly what you can give. Maybe reconnect with your friends, like my friend Roland, especially those who are hurting. Recommit to your church family. Now, tell people you really appreciate them and really value them, and you are glad they are in your life. Directly, face to face, or if you're too shy, an email, or now a handwritten letter, which is magic. Tell them you love them. No, really. Tell them you really do love them. Maybe you could reach out to folks who are quite different from you, ethnically, politically, theologically, economically, educationally. Maybe even share your faith with them. Rekindle your curiosity about the world and its wonders as well as its challenges. How about this? Walk away from your television, your computer, and your cell phone. Find the off button. Listen to nature and listen to some beautiful classical music. Maybe even start up that spiritual autobiography you've been intending to write. In other words, brothers and sisters, try something different. rather than that tired old rut that is simply a long, narrow grave. For the sake of your soul, do something with your life that gives you meaning and gives meaning to others. Something for others, something for the church, something for the world, maybe even something for our terribly broken political system. This is your pastoral Lenten nudge. Do something for Christ's sake. Really? So that's the third question. What are you doing with your life? Now, think of what your personal vineyard keeper is going to do for you. Dig around your soul. Water it. Okay, put some manure or something comparable on your soul. All to see if you will bear fruit. And that fruit will bring joy to you, to others, and dare I say it, even to Christ himself. Now, I have a book in my hand. It's called Amazing Grace by Kathleen Norris, a good Presbyterian. I highly commend it to you as your Lenten devotional. And in this book, she has a chapter entitled Detachment. And she tells how her husband, David, fell into a deep depression, so severe that he was hospitalized for several weeks. And during this hospital stay, Kathleen discovered that David had become so disoriented that he had decided to cancel their medical insurance. So now they faced the prospect not only of his mental illness, but also medical bankruptcy, which, as you know, is the cause of about 67% of bankruptcies in the United States. So Kathleen, in her anxiety, talked to a friend in New York City who asked her, "What are you doing for yourself? Are you seeing a counselor? Are you taking something for your anxiety?" And Kathleen responded, "No, I'm okay. I've been praying the Psalms." And her friend asked her incredulously, "That's enough?" Well, this is what Kathleen said. "The funny thing is, that was enough. I was not praying the Psalms alone, but with my Benedictine sisters in my town. They had graciously taken me into the small convent they have near the hospital, offering me a guest room as long as I needed it. There is no way I can measure the help they gave me. Not the least of these was providing for me an occasion for laughter for the first time in days." So during David's stay in the hospital, she had an opportunity to visit with the leader of that Benedictine convent. They talked about the season of the year, which happened to be Lent. The sister had decorated the whole convent with spring flowers and lively colors. And she explained like this, "Most of my life, I have thought of Lent in terms of self-denial. Now, I still fast, but my reasons for fasting have changed. Now I think of Lent as a time of waiting and burgeoning hopes." So in the fellowship of this wonderful Benedictine convent, with her pastor, her church family, her extended family and friends, and a very helpful attorney, by the way, Kathleen Norris got through that very difficult Lenten time. And so did her husband, David. Her soul was fed daily by the praying of the Psalms and the fellowship of sisters and brothers in Christ. And most of all, that burgeoning hope that expects even barren fig trees to produce fruit. Sisters and brothers, the care of your soul is a matter of utmost importance. And whatever condition your soul is in today, remember this: time and patience, tending and watering, care and nurture can make it flourish yet again. For your sake and for the sake of Christ who loves you, this is my burgeoning Lenten hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.